I'm talking today with Sarah Chivers, who's an adjunct professor at Portland State University and Chemeketa Community College, and also with Samantha Edgerton, who is a second-year PhD student studying modern U.S. history at Washington State University. Samantha is vice president of the Graduate and Professional Student Association, the GPSA, the representative body for graduate and professional students at WSU, and the three of us have been helping to organize the upcoming organizing summit for academic workers, for higher ed workers, for students throughout the Pacific Northwest called Organizing to Confront Academic Disaster Capitalism in the Age of Pandemics. Sam Edgerton actually has COVID right now, so we are amazed that we're actually able to speak to her. So do you want to talk a little bit about this upcoming summit? Basically, it's a free online interactive organizing summit to begin building power across the Pacific Northwest to radically re-envision higher education as equitable, sustainable, affordable, and accessible to all. Sarah, do you want to start in? Why do you think this event is important?
I've been teaching for about 15 years, and things have gotten progressively worse, and it's time for things to start getting better. One of the biggest issues that we're dealing with now is the way that community colleges and universities in our region are run like businesses. Students are suffering the most. Undergraduate students and graduate students are bearing the burden of these costs of higher education. At the same time, they're suffering from housing and food insecurity. It's really time for us to re-envision a future of higher education for the public based on education being a common good. We're really working to bring people together, to build collective power, to pressure legislators, to cap administrative salaries. For example, at Portland State University, there are administrators who make what an adjunct professor would make in a year, administrators make in a month.
And Sam, you're actually going to be speaking on the conditions, particularly confronting graduate students.
Graduate students have been preoccupied with the shift to digital teaching and learning. They've also been experiencing exhaustion and stress, particularly for students from marginalized communities as they face additional burdens. They're the ones who are contending with eviction, hunger, and the impact of COVID-19 itself. With lots of potential budget cuts on the horizon, there's a real possibility too for labor exploitation. And then from my own experience with COVID itself, which also adds to the physical experience of the pandemic, as well as more mental stress. This places a tremendous burden on low-income working class and first-generation graduate students. In areas where universities chose to open up this fall for person-to-person instruction, graduate students need transparency and plans for testing and protecting their physical safety. In addition, labs have closed, jeopardizing deadlines and financial aid, escalating fees, stipends that are too low to cover the cost of living in university communities, and the abysmal state of the academic job market are now magnified by the pandemic. Graduate students are, especially marginalized communities, are holding dual roles. So you've got graduate parents who don't have childcare, as well as job opportunities in local university communities as well, have essentially faded away due to the economic repercussions of the pandemic.
Okay. And so even though we have eviction moratoriums right now, a lot of them are facing a really uncertain future in terms of both housing and food security.
The Great Recession of 2008, combined with this recent COVID pandemic, have essentially doubled student debt since 2008. We expect to continue to see student debt increase, and no one at the state or federal level is addressing these types of issues.
Another issue that we're addressing at our organizing summit has to do with public safety and community safety. One of our speakers on our panel will be Red Hamilton, who is an organizer with Disarm PSU and is on the board of OPAL here in Portland and has been showing real leadership in disarming campus safety officers and building community support and mutual aid. Another really important theme that we'll be covering at the summit is about decolonizing higher education, centering the voices and experiences of Black, Indigenous, Latino students and educators. In the communities where I teach, Board of Trustees are voting to cut most of the programming that supports BIPOC communities. So for example, the Oregon Promise was really decimated this year by our Oregon legislators. And the Oregon Promise is a really key piece of funding that community college students use in order to obtain an education. And I think finally, one of the issues that I'm most passionate about is labor and adjunctification and the exploitation of higher education workers. We are called to teach in emergency situations with little prep time, without much support in terms of professional development or training, and yet we're the first on the chopping block when there's a budget crisis. So what we really want to do is stop the bleeding, address the ultimate causes that are creating this vicious treadmill that's burdening students with decades worth of debt, leaving many of us educators living in impoverished conditions, all the while propping up administrators who are making decisions that are continuing this vicious cycle.
Okay, yeah, and just to note too that almost every AAUP in the Pacific Northwest has thrown their support behind this organizing efforts. It's the first time that we know of anyway that academic workers and students from across the region will gather together to look at how can we mount coordinated campaigns across campuses, across community colleges and universities for unified fight for justice and for education that's genuinely equitable, sustainable, affordable, and accessible to all. So that again, that's coming up on November 13th from 4 to 7 p.m. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sam and Sarah, for speaking with me today. And I'm going to talk here in a minute with Robin White, who is going to be facilitating one of the sessions. And just to do a shout out as well for the fact that PSU's Jose Padin, who's the immediate past president of the PSU, American Association of University Professors, AAUP, is going to be one of the speakers at the event. You can find out more about this event by going to www.peacock.info, and we will post the information when we post this segment. So I'm talking also this morning with Robin White, who is actually a member of the Old Mole Variety Hour Radio Collective, but also a member of the WSU Vancouver Native American Community Advisory Board. And Robin, you're going to be facilitating this session on fossil fuel divestment and reinvestment.
You know, I think it's important that we realize how fast the climate collapse is approaching us and that we don't have the time we thought we had. I think the only way to really address that is to go directly to where the money is. You know, you got to follow the money. If in Washington and Oregon or in the Northwest, we've got incredible amount of pension monies in of unions. We have universities that are investing this money.
WSU does not yet have a fossil fuel divestment campaign, and we aim to change that situation in the next week. But I mean, you know, there are a number of other institutions around the Pacific Northwest that have gotten some traction on these issues. What can we be learning from each other's kind of campaign strategies and tactics? WSU is holding the single largest portfolio of indigenous lands of any land grant university in the U.S., right? And so where is that money ironically being invested? It's being invested in fossil fuel infrastructure that is driving climate change and probably the worst casualties of climate change in Washington State in particular are indigenous communities that are frontline communities like the Quinault, right?
Tribes in particular have an extraordinarily hard time getting loans or getting money, and as do individual Native businesses and so on and so forth. These people are the most affected by fossil fuels and the toxicities of them. Yet economically, they really struggle to grow and to do the right thing. It's funny that, you know, basically we're relying on them to do the right thing for salmon recovery, for environmental recovery and of stewardship, but we're not helping finance them. In Washington, the tribal economy is, I think, the fourth largest employer, but we need to, you know, do the right thing in that type of infrastructure as well and support them with some of these investment and reinvestment programs so that they can do the job that we really are asking them to do now. And we need to do better by
them. Yeah, I just want to be clear too that there's a whole session on decolonization at the organizing summit, and that's going to be facilitated by University of Washington professor Jean Dennison, who is also, she's the co-director for the Center for American Indian and Indigenous Studies and an associate professor of American Indian Studies at the University of Washington. And so, you know, that's going to be another session that's going to be running at the same time. time, and it looks like a lot of people have signed up for that session. So, you know, there's a robust land back movement right now. If land grant universities are still accruing funds from indigenous lands that we're holding, first step, right, is to move those investments out of fossil fuels and into tribal communities.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a slap in the face, really, to these people that continue to do that. And I think it's extraordinarily irresponsible. Honestly, I think it's irresponsible economically, but it's also just morally kind of reprehensible.
Yeah, and I mean, we're seeing Exxon's stocks, right? Exxon's profits basically tanking, right? So the question is the Biden administration going to continue to bail them out?
I think it's important to understand that. And, you know, I've been trying to tell particularly people in labor that We're not doing our fiduciary responsibility when we don't divest out of fossil fuels and a lot of these things that are we know are going to collapse and that we know they're just trying to get the last bits of money out of. I mean, this is from their internal documents. They're investing. A lot of these companies are investing in what's going to happen after fossil fuels.
We could finance a completely different level of economic base. The Northwest should be the leader in going in and cleaning these places up instead of just capping them off with something and ignoring them. Places like Coos Bay or little places on the coast or tribal lands inland, places like Longview or Kelso that are the weak links that these companies are trying to go in and squeeze in these toxic facilities because they're desperate for jobs, desperate for money, And they don't have the money to fight these big companies. So, you know, if we went in there instead and were training these people to clean these sites up and to bring materials in to be cleaned in these big areas that are sitting empty, we could be completely different infrastructure. This is a completely different economy based on doing the right thing for our lands. We could be going into forest areas and cleaning these up and helping reduce the fire danger. Divest and reinvest.
We're going to be having that conversation across universities, across campuses in the Pacific Northwest, to the best of our knowledge. This has never happened before, right? So it's a chance to make a really exponential leap in terms of these individual siloed organizing campaigns that are going on. So Robin, we're going to see you soon on November 13th between 4 and 7 p.m. For more information about the event and how to register, go to www.picoc.info. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Old Mill Variety Hour.